Bianca Ranson has had a long association with our tourism sector. She's the founder and director of Portugal Adventures, and she created that company offering tours and outdoor adventures with the natural environment from a Māori perspective. It's been a successful formula. And our country's had a long tradition of supporting a rules-based approach to international cooperation that underpins our national security and trade relationships. If Aotearoa to back out of our climate change commitments would be a moral, diplomatic and economic failure and is regarded by some as an international disgrace. Bianca Ranson joins us from Dubai. Thank you for joining us. Tuhinde, tēnā koe, Bianca.
Morena, Dale.
Kia ora. Firstly, tell us why you're in Dubai, please.
I'm in Dubai at the moment. I've been here for almost just over 2 weeks, attending COP28, which is the United Nations Climate Change Conference. And I'm here representing the Climate Action, the New Zealand Climate Action Network.
Tēnā koe. Talk with us about what you have heard, what level of commitment you're hearing from nations. And indeed, I think it's important that we touch on how our international reputation sits in this space. Bianca, kōrero mai.
Yeah, so it's been a really full-on couple of weeks, as you can probably imagine, and there was some really good progress made on the first day, which was around the loss and damage fund, which was made operational on that first day, which is a really good step to move towards it. The rich contributors to the climate crisis, and so there was $700 million put toward that fund, but it falls short of the $400 billion that is currently needed to be able to assist those countries and communities for a just transition to renewable and clean energy. Also on the first day of COP, as part of the Climate Action Network, there's quite an infamous award, which is called Fossil of the Day. And one is given out for each day of the COP conference, and New Zealand actually won the Fossil of the Day on the first day, and that award goes to the country who is doing the best at doing the worst. And so that the reason for that was because of the government's announcement of the reversal of the oil and gas exploration ban, which was put in place in 2018 and celebrated on the world stage as being world-leading in terms of, you know, the phasing out of fossil fuels and showed us as leaders in the climate space and having a really strong responsibility to our Pacific neighbours as well, who are facing sea level rise and inundation and losing their island homes. So for us to backtrack on that is seen as really a disgrace, and particularly on the international stage. And that was, yeah, in response to the announcement that was made by the government in the lead up to the election. They have continued on with that while we were at COP as well.
Tēnā koe, it feels as though, well, we can't buy ourselves out of the problem that has been caused intergenerationally. What about Indigenous perspectives? How do you think they are being factored into the discussions there? And I know that while you're representing the Climate Action Network, also you represent Tangata Whenua. Has our voice been heard there, Bianca?
Yeah, so one of the main reasons of coming over here was to strengthen our relationships and connections with other Indigenous peoples from across the globe. And I think that it's really important that we probably, you know, kind of start this conversation, I think, with the genocide that's happening at the moment in Gaza, which is only 2,500 kilometres from where I am right now. And we can't really understand that without recognising Israel as a settler colonial project, which has been, you know, which seeks to eliminate Palestinian people through genocide and ethnic cleansing, and replace them with settlers and extract and exploit their resources. So we know that the genocide and slaughter of Indigenous people, you know, coupled with the destructive extraction of Indigenous people's resources, has been prime ministry of the collective West for over five centuries. And Indigenous leaders here at COP and representing the global majority recognise that resistance against Israeli colonialism and the front line is the front line in the battle against Western geopolitical primacy, which exploits the labour of racialised peoples of the global south and which has brought the Earth's ecosystems to the brink of collapse. So I think one of the common, you know, kōrero that's been had over here amongst Indigenous leaders and Indigenous communities is that, you know, if we're really going to look at the root cause of the climate crisis, then we can't look past imperialism and colonialism and capitalism. And what we're seeing playing out right now in Palestine is the people that are on the very front line of that. And the actions that took place at COP were really significant in support of calling for a ceasefire and raising awareness about what's happening in Palestine. So we had a march one day where I would estimate that there was probably between 1,000 to 1,500 people within COP that took part in that action. So there's just lots of different discussions happening. There was amazing work being done by the Pacific Island nations. And today, obviously, we had the outcome of the, you know, the adoption of the text on the final day of COP, which is the main thing I think that's really important to point out, is that what we were really pushing for here at COP this year was the global phase out of fossil fuels, because we know that that is the main and major contributor to the climate crisis. And so this year there were 2,500 fossil fuel lobbyists at COP, which is four times the amount as last year. And we're also having this, completed this conference in a petro state, and the president of COP is also the CEO of a major oil company. So despite all of that, the text that was adopted is a transition away from fossil fuels. So while it's not a global phase out, which is what we desperately need in order to limit warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius, it is a really significant step forward in terms of recognizing that fossil fuels are the major contributor, and it's kind of brought the fossil fuel industry to its knees in a way. And so now what needs to happen is, in all different spaces, and COP is not the only answer to addressing the climate crisis, it's one of many, levers or ways that we can collectively come together, not only in Aotearoa, but globally, to be able to address the climate crisis. But it is a significant step in the right direction. But what's extremely hypocritical about that is that because New Zealand has signed up to that, they're saying all these things on the one hand, where they care for our Pacific neighbours, they want to limit warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius, they're committed to the Paris Agreement, and then, you know, while we're at COP, they're saying that they want to open oil and gas exploration, which completely goes against that. And also what was incredibly embarrassing for us were the comments that were made in the House by Shane Jones, which was, a lot of the kind of kōrero here was that it was really unhinged, and it was steeped in climate denial and science denial, and saying that we're going to open up, you know, coal, we're going to do more mining and oil and gas and all of these things, which he believes he knows more on than the thousands of climate scientists who are informing the reports that we're using here at COP to make decisions to avoid an existential crisis. So, it was really interesting to see what was happening back home and the kōrero coming out of the government, as opposed to the actual reality that we're facing for the continued existence of humanity.